Hello everybody and welcome back to another episode of You Can't Handle the Truth. Today's episode we are going to be talking about Chapter 2 of the John Wick films. So this got released in 2017, it's directed once again by Chad Stahelski. And if you liked the first John Wick, I guarantee you will like the second one too. And I've been thinking about this a lot before recording this review. Is it better than the first one? Now, I'm not going to spend the entire review trying to compare them and decipher which one I prefer, but I've got to say, as sequels go, because sequels rarely exceed the original, let's be real about that, but I think it's funny how John Wick Chapter 2, 3, and 4 all potentially exceed the first one and the one that came before it. So the creators, the producers, the director, every single person involved in this film, the stunt performers and the choreographers especially, they know what to enhance for the very next film in this franchise. So let's say out of the first movie, you really enjoyed the club sequence and you loved the world building of it all. You get more of that in this one. You get in a potentially better club sequence. I think the music choice is definitely better, but then it leads into a catacomb sequence, which is just unreal. And he's unleashing hell with so many different weapons, like his pistol, then a shotgun. It's ridiculous. The sequence goes on for about 20 minutes. You know, it's full on. And once you're in, you're in. Okay, you're along for the ride. You don't want to get off. And I think that's what's great about these movies, the fact that I shouldn't be saying this. I really shouldn't. I know how bad it sounds, but it makes guns seem pretty fun. And I know that is horrible, and I'm probably very sadistic for saying that. Because I know real life is completely different, and when somebody gets shot in the head, it's not going to be like an exaggerative explosion of blood coming out the back of somebody's head, splattering onto a wall, or the camera that's filming it. That's not going to happen. It's not realistic. So I shouldn't say that it does glorify gun violence, but it kind of does, because whether he's shooting in rhythm or he's up against an adversary and they're both on opposite sides of the street with cars in the middle and they're ducking and weaving and shooting and the glass is smashing and then they fall down some stairs and they have a bit of a hand-to-hand fight and then they start shooting each other again and trying to reload and shoot the other person in the head. And I think as well, one of the key reasons it feels so stylish with the shooting is the reloading. Okay, I guarantee you have never ever seen a movie with more aggressive reloading in your life. The way that he just launches every single empty mag out of his weapon, sometimes it'll just smash into a wall or it'll go sliding across a floor. He's just so slick with doing it, but there's no need, right? There is no need to be that aggressive when it comes to just emptying a clip and reloading it with a new one. But for some reason, this movie just has the most aggressive style of it I've ever seen. But I love that. Like, it is so noticeable, and it only gets worse, or better, I should say, as the movie progresses. So that catacomb set piece and the final set piece as well, just watch the reloading because it is hilarious. And the manner of which these films deliver on the slickness, in part it is due to Keanu Reeves and how much everybody loves Keanu. He is John Wick. Okay, well, aside from the killing, he is John Wick, okay? He's suave, he looks great in suits, he's got the luscious hair and the beard. He's great, okay? Everybody loves Keanu. And I do think this is possibly his best role ever. Even though I did just watch The Matrix last night, he's so good in that. But I think John Wick, as a man of few words in a world that is out to kill him, he's just unreal. Like, he's a dream. He's a hero, but he's so bad. Like, he is a serial killer. He's awful. He's a murderous man, but we love him. Why do we love him? I don't know. Maybe it's because his commitment to his car, his dog, his life, his freedom. We want to see him succeed, right? We want to see him get to the bottom of everything. So at the end of the first movie, we saw him running off into the night with a new dog, which is fantastic. I love that. And there has not been a huge chunk of time between these two movies because at the start of this one, he goes to retrieve his car, which is being held by the brother of the main adversary he killed in the first movie. So I like already the fact that this is a family business, okay? Everybody in this universe and their families are usually in it together, okay? So whether it's a crime family, a syndicate, or whatever, this guy's brother has just been killed by John Wick, and now John Wick is coming after him because he's got his car. He's in danger, so he sends a bucket load of thugs to try and kill him. Of course, John Wick easily makes his way through them in a very badass fight sequence. There's a great little car chase too with a motorbike, and that ends hilariously. I love that. But then the main narrative of this movie is, because he's back into this world, right, he had retired, but the first movie saw him come out of retirement to get revenge on the people that killed his dog and stole his car. And so now he's back in this world, he can't just dip a pinky in and expect nothing to drag him down deeper, as Winston says in that first movie. I love that line. And Winston is back, Sharon is back, we get some new additions to the cast. We've got Lawrence Fishburne, so a little Matrix reunion, I love that. We've got Common and Ruby Rose both playing adversaries, who I think it's great that we actually get more of an insight and more development for the villains in this film, because we did know quite a bit about the first movie's villain, but he would just send thugs to kill John Wick and he'd hire people to kill him. Whereas this time around, we get a look at the people who are being hired or who are out to collect a contract, because John is visited by a man called Santino D'Antonio and he has a marker with him. He has a debt to owe. So as much as I loved the world and the atmosphere that was created in that first movie, the second one expands on it so much more by showing that there's Continentals all over the world. It's not just in New York. So when he goes to Italy, and there's one in Rome, I believe, and you get a deeper understanding of the world of contracts and how people operate. So you can set a hit on somebody and everybody will get a text message saying, go and get this guy, you will get like $10 million or something crazy. So I love that because it adds to the danger, it adds to the threat of the world that we already knew existed in that first movie, because there's a secret underground club where everybody seemed to be assassins. But this time round, you know, I actually think it's kind of funnier, because there's one sequence where it's just 5 minutes of random people just attacking John because they all know about the contract, so they want to go and redeem it. So John is going to survive the whole city at one point, and that comes back in the next two movies as well, really well. So yeah, if you want to see some really cool sequences, not just the action, but I think the main greeting between Santino and John when you discover about the marker, so it's like a blood oath, basically. You do something for one guy, and later on, at whatever point you need it, you can go and redeem something back from them. So when Santino goes to John saying, you're back in this world now, you're going to do this one thing for me, I want you to kill my sister, because I'm not going to do it, I want her seat at the table. You've got to do it, you know, you owe me. And if he doesn't do it, then bad things are going to happen. So you've got to watch it and find out whether he takes the marker, what happens as a result of that. This movie is just one giant chain of events that have all stemmed from the start of the very first movie. Okay, his dog being killed and him coming back into this world. None of this that actually happens is a result of anything different. So I think that's really clever and interesting how they're not having like a totally brand new story. It's more like you reap what you sow and there are always consequences. And Consequences comes back in the third and fourth movie extremely well too. But the second movie, it has it all. It has a sharp and witty script, it has a great soundtrack, it has some great visuals, it has great lighting and colours, the cinematography is amazing, the editing is really sharp as well. Great pace to this movie too. It's just 2 hours long, feels great, okay, it doesn't feel like it drags at all, it's fantastic. And the final sequence, I think, is really, really good. It's just basically a massive shootout, of course, but when it kind of progresses into the next wave and they end up in this kind of Hall of Mirrors situation, everything is just stunning. Like, you don't really know what the f*** is going on, because there's just reflections of John, there's reflections of the guns and the bad guys everywhere. So they're shooting at random mirrors thinking that's where they are, but he's not. And then he smashes through a different mirror and he takes them out. But through the directing, what Chad Stahelski has been able to do is he's shooting it so dynamically, whereas any other director would have just had it kind of too confusing that it's not fun. But this is confusing in all the right ways, because say for instance, without spoiling anything, when he's having a hand-to-hand fight with somebody and the camera is looking at the reflection of the two of them fighting, but there's multiple different reflections around them too, so you see every single detail of both characters. You see their faces reflected, you see the back of them in the foreground, you see every single detail, and that's really impressive to be able to pull it off. I know for a fact they spent months trying to execute this mirror sequence, and they did it. Okay, they nailed it. So I am debated to say it's better than the first one, but I don't know, it wasn't when I first watched it. Right, when I first saw it, I thought, yeah, it's good, but I'm not a huge fan of the opening, and I do think the first one is better, but now I'm able to love the entire thing, and maybe a little bit more. I don't know, I don't want to, because I love the first one, but the second one is great. Find a way to stream it or just buy it, because honestly, if you want to buy this entire franchise, get a four movie collection on 4K when the fourth one finally comes out on DVD, and you won't regret it, or you really won't, because it looks gorgeous, it feels gorgeous, it is gorgeous, it's exciting, it's fun, it's fresh. Yeah, it is so fresh, like, it's so original, despite being a sequel. So yeah, it's just, it's wonderful. It really is. And there is one line I absolutely love, which I will end this review on, when he's speaking to Lawrence Fishburne, and John Wick is a man of few words anyway. Okay, we all know that. But he says this one line so coolly. He's like, "You have a choice to make." I can't even say this without laughing. "You have a choice to make. Do you want a war, or do you want to just give me a gun?" And I'm like, oh my God. All you need to get a job done is hand John Wick a weapon. It doesn't even have to be a gun, because he uses things in this movie that no person should use to kill somebody with, okay? You know what I'm talking about, because they referenced it in the first one, and they reference it again in this one. A f***ing pencil. Alright, it's mental. I love it. I hate it. That is so gruesome, but it's so stylish. Anyway, I've been Kieran. This has been John Wick Chapter 2. Go and watch the first one. Go and watch the second one. And join me next time, where I will talk about Chapter 3 in the next episode of You Can't Handle the Truth.